and jump. Wow, what a crowd. Praise Yahweh! Say it all together. Say it all together now. One, two, three. Praise Yahweh! There you go. You may be seated. Keep praise Yahweh. I love you. Keep this zeal and love to the end, okay? There won't be an end for you if you do. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I've got a number of articles, but I don't want to read them. I want to get right into this lesson. And Yahweh set a feast for you in the presence of our enemies. And I do urge everyone, before you leave here, get you one of those things and sign it. One of those papers that Stefania just read. It's a way out of being judged by this world. And it works. They recognize it. It's their work. Praise Yahweh. Pentecost. I know it's not understood, and if you'll, I want you to really, really listen closely today. It's so amazing to me how Yahweh, I didn't plan the great Kohan Stefania Owen Hawkins sermon, but it couldn't have been put in a better place. But I know that Yahweh planned it, and I see this all the time in the work here. You know, we have the Acts of the Apostles. Well, now we have the Acts of the Last Day's work. And if you didn't get every word of that sermon, you really need to. You really need to listen to it again and again, and especially the young priest here. You need to understand what he was saying there. It's being recorded just like Yahweh had the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Prophets, the Acts of Yahshua, had them recorded for you. It's so important that you get them and that you understand every word of what he said. Every word of what he said. But then also sign that. Now, I want you to concentrate on this sermon. If you're keeping this feast and you're not in unity with me right now, you're keeping it illegally. And of course, it's going to be judged against you. You're classified by Yahshua the Savior as an imposter, as someone who will be cast out, unfit for the kingdom. Now, that's all the things that the Savior brings forth on him. This feast is a feast of unity. That's what it means. Seven times seven. Just think about that. Seven is complete. Seven times seven is a completeness here that Yahweh showed as Romans, Book of Romans, written by the great Apostle Shaul, who was a Roman soldier, trained by one of the greatest priests, that is, one that had great knowledge of the law. And when I read his work, when I read Shaul's work, and I can see that he really knew the history of the Book 2, and he knew what Yahweh was showing there, and that's the reason he made the statement, you know, that your works are shown in the feast days, and of course the Pentecost is one of those days. It's what we must come to. In unity, and the ones that receive these gifts, that want to receive the gifts, you certainly have an opportunity, but it really takes a lot of study, a lot of listening, close listening, and concentration so it can get into your mind. But turn over to Genesis. Let's start back in the beginning again here in Genesis 1, because Yahweh showed to Adam here. He showed this to Adam, and then later on he showed it to others, but he showed him his plan here. The reason that he made him and set him on the earth. And, of course, Adam recorded a bunch of stuff for us, a bunch of names of that we wouldn't have today if Yahweh hadn't have recorded it and then set it to use in the languages, because Adam actually named all the animals on earth. And you think about it, he was a very smart man. Adam and Eve both repented of their sins. I can prove that. And of course, we will see them in the kingdom, unless there's something unrecorded that I don't know about. But I think anything that important we would know. But in verse 26, he shows the reason that he showed Adam the reason that he created him and how he was going to multiply and replenish the earth, replenish it, because he allowed his sons to trespass on earth and, of course, destroy themselves and destroy the earth with it. That's shown in the first few verses of chapter 1. And then in verse 26, he shows that he intends to make man in his own image, after his own likeness. And then over in chapter 2 and verse 9, he shows you there then that he is allowing two religions, of course, a false religion, and then along with the true religion, the very strict religion. You know, we have a bunch of strict elders now, Kohans and Kohanas, and you should be very thankful, because if you praise Yahweh, they're guarding your souls. And of course, if I see them lax on something, well, I'm guarding them too, and I do scream once in a while when I see this, but not very often anymore do I ever find any likeness in our Kohans or the Kohanas, and they're watching. When I know sometimes you think they're maybe a little bit harsh, but David repented to me this morning, because if you think he's harsh now, you should have seen him when I first met him. I'm going to cover some stuff here that I remember when we were working on years ago in translating the Book of Yahweh, and of course we had people that were against and trying to bring in things that weren't agreeable with Yahweh and the rest of his writings. And David and I, we always work together in this. But I always noticed the ones that were against it, you know, they separated themselves. It makes me think of the word Pharisee, you know, separatist. They separated themselves, and they would, put things, sneak things in, and some things actually got by us. But we did our best. Yahweh just allowed it to take place. But we're still getting those things out. But here, in this, you see that Yahweh is allowing this false religion here to take place. And then if you look to chapter 4, where I kind of led up to this in the last sermon, but chapter 4 and verse 25, after Cain killed Abel. Now, of course, Cain was a what I was telling you was a like a brute beast. And this is what people are coming to, and I want to show you more deeply what the scripture shows you in this, and maybe it's the reason why we are still suffering with some today because of this. But Cain, there again, he separated himself. He separated himself from Yahweh. Separated himself from the great garden of Yahweh. And of course, from the face of Yahweh, that is, from his laws, statutes, and judgment. And he showed his rebellion in doing so. And of course, Abel, he kept the laws of Yahweh, The man was perfect, as Yahweh said. He was like Yeshua himself in striving to keep these laws of Yahweh and to write them for us. His work, of course, was being recorded. He was writing continually to get these things written. And, of course, Noah then was the great preserver of all of this writings, the instructions from Yahweh. But here in chapter 4, in verse 25, he says, Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. Now, this was after Cain had killed Abel. So he bore Seth, for Yahweh has appointed another seed for me in the place of Abel. So in the place of Abel means in doing the work that Abel did. And of course, Abel brought forth the strict laws of Yahweh. And from Abel's work, of course, Adam and Eve became converted and repented of their sins. And then, of course, they taught this to Seth and apparently had some foresight in this, as you can see, because they prophesied that he would take Abel's place. He wouldn't be like Cain, but he would take Abel's place, whom Cain killed. And then you see the bloodline there from Seth to Enoch and Enosh, and from there on down to Noah, who was the great preserver in verse 29. And all of these seed here that came down, you can see a general DNA here that's following this this bloodline, and it's a pure bloodline here that hasn't gotten defiled down to Noah. And then you've got to remember now that this other tree is still in existence, and it's still roaming the land and deceiving as many people as it possibly can. And this is what Yahweh showed here. There was also tyrants who, like today, which shows the pattern of that religion that went out roaming, or the Crusades. They were tyrants. And of course, the Pope would tell the Crusaders, let's go over here and take this country, take their wealth. We can do this easily. It's the land flowing with milk and honey. And we'll make you rich. Of course, they never did. The Pope, the Vatican got all the land and all the wealth, and they, very little of it went to the people who went out and killed the people. We have this killing in several different ways. That every time I read this, it makes me think of these doctors, the surgeons. There was some surgeons. They went on this safari, the African safari, and you know what a safari is, an African safari. That's where you get this big gun, you know, big gun, and you go out here hunting this little animal, helpless animal. And they tell you to shoot him way back behind the shoulders because they want this trophy, you know. So you have to blow this big hole in his ribs, and then walk up there and put your foot on him and hold your gun up like this, like you're what do they call that? I guess a tyrant. But anyway, they went on this safari, and of course the airlines love this when they do this, because they pay to get all their guns on there and their suitcases, and it takes big money to go on an African safari. And then you have the guides that you have to pay big money, so this brings in a lot of taxes here and there. Well, now back to the original story. These guys went on this safari. There was five of them. I don't remember what all the four said when they got back, but one of them was a surgeon, I remember, and the others was something else. And this, they were telling what they got, and they finally came down to the surgeon, and they said, well, what did you get? Well, you're supposed to go out there, see, and kill a bunch of kill. And he said, you know, I spent that whole time, wasted all this money, went out there to Africa. I didn't get to kill one single animal. I would have been better off to have went to the hospital. Okay. Well, anyway, this is what I see in Cain, and I think of that every time I read the scripture, that they become. Now they become what the apostle said, a brute beast. That is, they have a beastly type character, attitude, and I'm not speaking of the doctors either. That was a joke. Our doctors are great. They do great work, and we got the best in the world in the house of Yahweh. Believe me. But in Genesis now 29, Genesis 5, and in verse 29 we see here he said, and he called his name Noah, saying, this son will comfort us concerning our work. Well, of course, the work of Abel is what they were talking about here, and it being preserved by this man who Yahweh says he's going to bring a flood and he's going to wipe out what we see in number 6. Because without the righteous guidance of a strict righteous priest, which Abel was, a hard working priest who brought the laws of Yahweh perfectly. And that's not an easy thing to do, I'll guarantee you, to the people, and created quite a work here, one that was hated and envied by Cain. So they brought forth this man. The work that was brought forth from Abel to Noah here is shown in chapter 4, the last part of 4, and the verse and all of 5, all of verse 5. And then here then you see in verse chapter 6 and verse 3, he says, and Yahweh said, the men of this world will never subject themselves to my word. That is the way that it existed at this time, because after Abel was killed, then sin multiplied here. And tyrants, they were carnally minded, as it says in verse 3, thus their days shall be 120 years only at that time. And then verse 4, we see the tyrants, which you get more of a scope of these tyrants in the chapter 10 of Genesis, where it's speaking of the institute, the tyrant institute that Cush created, called Nimrod. Nimrod means he rebelled, rebellious system. And of course, the system became tyrants, and that's where you get the Crusades. It was going on long before it was named Crusades, but that's what it was. In fact, the Apostle Shaul was a Crusader. He was a roamer. A Roman roamer who went out arresting the citizens for keeping the laws of Yahweh. Well, it's still going on today, and the hatred is still here, as the scripture shows it, for this last day's work. Then Yahweh said that the wickedness of man, verse 5, was great in the earth, and every intent, the thoughts of man's hearts, was only evil continually. Now, if you remember, the Savior brought this very thing out in Matthew 24 and said it's going to be exactly like this, like it is right here in this chapter, in the last days. That's what your Savior showed you. In chapter 24 of Matthew. And then he says in verse 9, he said, these are the begettings of Noah, and a just man, perfect in his begettings. Noah walked in the reverence of Yahweh, as is shown. He started back here in verse 26 of chapter 4 with the birth of Seth. And then in verse 26, he says, and as for Seth, to him also a son was born, whose name was Enosh. And it was then that the name of Yahweh began to be invoked again after Abel. So this bloodline and the genes then started carrying this unperverted bloodline down to this end time work then, where we had the Savior who was perfect, without spot or blemish, without sin, totally without sin. The same thing came down through this bloodline as we see here in chapter 5, part of it. Now, in verse 11, he says, the earth also was corrupt before Yahweh, and the earth was filled with violence. The same thing we're seeing today. In fact, the violence in the schools right now, with the thousands of teachers are quitting. This is really getting concerned. You know, everyone is finally getting concerned about what they see taking place here. And the murders increasing throughout the United States, but throughout the world. And then terrorism, the terrorists, as we prefer to call them, and trying to defend themselves from what they think is tyranny. And that's the way they've classified it. And of course, they're fighting for their religion as well as their lives. They don't want to submit to the Catholic Church, the Vatican, who, of course, owns most of the world at this time, controls most of the world. I have a recent map here. It may have been changed by now. If you can see the colors there, the green is Islam, and the yellow is Christianity. And you can compare those two right there. Now, that's the map of the world. So you can see the part that is contrary and won't accept the Christianity or the Vatican's work. And the Vatican, of course, as I've been bringing out recently, comes from the 12 tribes. It started, of course, with Cain. And as First Yochanan says, all the world has gone the way of Cain. So here we see the violence now that Yahshua said would be in our lifetime. So Yahweh looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And Yahweh said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and I will destroy them with the earth. And of course, the next time then, when he allowed Noah to preserve the work of all these men, including Abel. And then from him and his sons then came forth then the bloodline that kept it in check, because the righteousness then was keeping in check the evil. So Yahweh kept it that way for a time period, and then he allowed, of course, the other to come in. But if you remember the history of these tribes now and the works coming forth, the work of Satan would try to destroy each work of Yahweh again. And then Yahweh, of course, would stop it like he did with Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, and then remember these words also. He said that he would try them for a certain time, and then he would drive them from the nation or scatter them into the world. And this is what you saw taking place with the 12 tribes. They were driven from Israel. They thought they were going voluntarily because they heard that there's a lot of money in Babylon to be made. So it was easy to convince them that Babylon and Rome, which sat on seven hills, was the place where all the wealth was. So go there and make it big. And of course, you see the same thing occurring today. Well, here he also had for Noah, he said in verse 32, we did get that. John, yes, we got that. Now, in chapter 6 and verse 1, we see the evil increasing. And then in chapter 7 now, chapter 7, 1 through 3, he says, and Yahweh said unto Noah, come into the ark and all your household, for I have seen you righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you 7 pairs of every clean animal, a male and his female, to 2 of the animals that are unclean. So you see the clean and the unclean species going into the ark here for Noah to preserve. Now, Yahweh established his covenant with Noah. If you look over to chapter 9, you see that the covenant was here before Abraham. And if you look at verse 1, chapter 9, verse 1, and Yahweh blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, multiply and fill the earth. Multiply and fill the earth. Okay, now look on down to verse 3. Every clean moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all clean things, even as the green herbs. Verse 4. But you shall not eat flesh with its life. That is, its blood in it. Now, don't take this lightly. I think people do, and they tend to forget. And, of course, every prophet, every apostle spoke of this. And one even says, put a knife to your throat if you're tempted to partake of the king's table. Now, if you didn't have a choice, you know, and it's either eat or starve to death, you know, you might have something to lean back on here. But you are being severely judged. And I want you to see this in verse 5. It says, surely your lifeblood I will demand an accounting. Now, the commentaries, they stay away from this. One of them dared to write. I'll read it to you here. It says, surely your blood will I require at the hand of every beast. Now, that's the way the King James Version has it. And they actually don't want to read it properly because they do understand what it says. But here in this verse, but they are afraid to actually bring it out, or maybe they'd be looked down on if they do. But he says, this is a very obscure account. This is a very obscure account. This is a very obscure, but if taken literally, it seems to be an awful warning. And that's all they would say. It's an obscure account, but if taken literally, and they know what it literally says, so they avoid it. But the word account here, and it is accounting. In fact, the Amplified Bible here says, "But you shall not eat flesh with the life of it, which is its blood." And surely for your life blood, I will require an accounting. Now, of course, the word account, it actually means justify. It means to elucidate. The word elucidate that they use here in trying to describe this Hebrew word, it means to make something clear, explain. To make something clear or explain. Now, if you're thinking, if you'll think, I've told you you're on trial. I told you this back when when before I was arrested that you were going to be. I told you after I was arrested and released that you are still on trial. It's you that's on trial. Yahweh has told me what is going to take place in my life. But you are on trial as to whether or not you will be with me in that kingdom, the kingdom of Yahweh. And of course, the accounting now. Now, I want you to understand this word right here, accounting. And he's going to do this with blood, with blood. You got that? Now, the blood has to an account. It actually means to tell, to judge, to be, to give a financial reckoning. If you remember, Yahshua said the kingdom of Yahweh is likened unto a man, an owner, who allotted his land out to different ones, and then on a certain day, he required an accounting of the records. But now here we see that what is telling Yahweh something here is blood. What Yahweh is actually reading and what's going on record in heaven is the blood. And Yahweh says he's going to require an accounting from the hand of every beast. It will be required. I will require it from the hand of every beast, or the body of every beast that is butchered, where it goes, who ate it, and what was in it when it was eaten. Now, if you have an excuse, that's fine and dandy. I don't know of any excuses left anymore. For this, we've gone to extremes to try to make it where you don't have to eat blood. Now, they did this when Yahweh brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. They started practicing this law. But it was a hard thing to quit. It was like they are addicted to it. Some person told me just here recently when I was discussing this, they said on a certain island that they take the blood of animals. Pig's blood is like the most. And I said, what, do they drink it? Well, yes, they drank it too, but said they, now the best I remember, I don't want to remember it, I don't want to ever do it, but they made something like it would be, when they got through with it, they mixed it with milk and other things. But they took the blood of pigs and they boiled it to a certain consistency like cheese. And then they would slice it like cheese or bologna and they would eat this blood. And of course, in this blood from a pig, you know what, the trichna floats in the blood constantly. Their eggs float in there. Now, that's just one of the things we have found in pork. It wasn't until just a few years ago that Dr. Pfizer invented a telescope where we could see things, microorganisms, that by blowing them up, by enlarging them to hundreds of thousands of times larger than they are now, and we in their original state, and then we can see it. When it's magnified that much, then we can see what it looks like with our eyes. I think they're still using Dr. Pfizer's work. I know there's a Dr. Pfizer company, corporation. I noticed where he's laying off about 6,000 hands now. So because of the economy, I don't know what's taking place, whether the Japan is outdoing him in the price or in their corporation, but probably they're getting most of their stuff from Japan anyway. It's probably just a slump because they have no money to buy the instruments or the drugs, so maybe they're making do. But anyway, with his work, which was just a few years ago when he built this telescope, I don't remember the date now, but that enabled us also to see cancer cells. from his telescope, a magnification of this thing where we could see it. So, and he was the one that said, that proved that a cancer cannot enter a cell, a clean cell, unless it's depleted of salt. The cancer cannot stand salt, so they won't enter that cell. Well, anyway, now, this was just to a few years ago, but Yahweh is showing you here, for scoffers, he's saying that the life is in the blood, and I'm going to require, it shows an account to me, it gives me an account of what, of every man and every beast, the blood. Well, do you remember now, Abel's blood cried out to Yahweh. So you see part of this accounting that is taking place here in this blood. Because Abel's blood was telling Yahweh something here. So this ties in. And then, of course, Yahshua adds to it. So does the apostles in this. And all the prophets is saying, don't eat the blood. And this is harped on over and over and over throughout the scriptures. So when Yahweh brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he went to teach them, don't eat blood. And then he actually instructs them in the priesthood, and it instructs the priesthood exactly how to kill an animal. So the animal will be kosher for you to eat. Now we know that Abel was given this because Abel sacrificed animals, and Yahweh said, yes, this is okay. It was acceptable. The sacrifice was acceptable. Under Yethro, he taught Moshe how to teach the priest to do this very thing. And they studied and they learned for years. I'll show you how many in a minute, because it is actually shown. And Yahweh would try these people until they died, and then he'd try their seed until they died, and all the accounting was made for actually 490 years, if you remember. 490 years up until the time of Samuel. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. But anyway, go back here to verse 5 again. He says, surely of your blood, of your life blood, I will demand an accounting. And he says, and they say, but this is the warning here to us from the commentators. It says, but if taken literally, it seems to be an awful warning. Well, of course, they knew this. They knew what this was talking about, and they knew that all of this is going on their record, but they don't want to talk about it because all the world is guilty of what is taking place here, and that, of course, is eating blood of animals, mainly because they don't know how to kill them, but also they're killing sick animals, and even those animals are being forced to eat sick animals. You know, this is the kind of shape the world has got in today. Now, when you look at all the warnings here, there is something quite extreme about this. Well, Pentecost. Here we get down to Pentecost now, the day we're celebrating right now. And of course, Pentecost means unity, and it means seven times 70. Seven times 70. That's what the Savior said. He gave you those figures, 7 times 70. Unity in spirit and in body, or in your blood, which is telling on you. You got that? Your blood, which is a permanent record, a permanent accounting of what is taking place. When you ate that and you thought it was secret, nobody knew about it, Yahweh knows about it. Yahweh knows, especially for you who your record is being kept exact right now. Of course, the world's is too, because he is keeping track of the world and what a miserable state it's in. And all of that's going on record. But nothing is missed on any of you. Boys, listen to me. Nothing is missed on any of you. And he has this perfect record of you through the blood that you ate a year ago, 100 years ago, the blood you fed your baby, through a cookie that you should have read the label before you gave it to him or her. Yes, you are responsible for your children too. Remember, Yahweh says, train them up in the way they should go. Now, if you put this blood in their brain, and that's where you're putting it when you give them blood, no matter what it comes from, whether it's the blasted butter that you're getting from the grocery store that we used to try to purify before because we couldn't get the money to start a dairy. So we'd try to purify this stuff for everyone because we knew that everyone wanted it, but we were working to get it for you. And then we finally got our dairy, praise Yahweh, and where you can actually take a jug of milk and slug it down and know that it is healthy. Praise Yahweh. And your butter and honey you shall eat and enjoy it. It is very, very tasty. And then the meat, you know, I said, until we can get something to give the people what they need, there's no use in telling them because you do need meat, but you'll have an excuse that way. But now you have no excuse because now we have a kosher slaughterhouse. But now that's not the only thing you have to watch for. See, you've got to watch for the what you buy in the store. Because they hide this stuff. And what is clean one week, we have people checking it all the time. That's the reason you need to stay in touch with Abilene. Get your answers, questions answered from Abilene. Because we do have people staying in touch with them. And of course, we make them. We either make them put it in writing or we don't use it. And a lot of them won't put it in writing. So we just say, okay, that's fine. We'll find somebody who will. But we are guarding this stuff for you because we know how important it is. It's important on my account because I'm going to be held accountable for either telling you or not telling you. Well, I'm telling you now. So you have no, it's off of my back. Not really, because, you know, I would not let any one of you go willingly at all. I'd keep harping at you until get totally out of my sight. But back to now Pentecost here, and we see unity of spirit. This is completeness. This is unity. This is the celebration of the feast of fullness. That's what Pentecost is, a celebration of the feast of fullness when you should be full of the spirit that comes from keeping Yahweh's laws, of course. The Feast of Unity. Let's turn over to Acts now. This is where I have to start hurrying, and I don't like that. But in Acts, the second chapter now, we come up through the apostles. I mean the prophets. We come through the prophets, and it was a battle because you had Cain that all the world was going after here in this tree. You had Yahweh's people who was more or less confined to Galilee area because they were persecuted otherwise. So they were kind of confined to that one area there in Galilee where Yeshua and his apostles were brought up. And then you had the roaming Romans who were the Pharisees and the army that Daniel said would join them, which would pollute the sanctuary, speaking of the temple at that time, which they did. And, you know, Titus was the one that destroyed it. So they would roam the countryside and they had their crusades and the teachers who they could prove and get away with it, they would kidnap like they did Lot. That's what they intended for him because there was rewards for those that was brought by the kings to Babylon or to the roaming soldiers to sell. It makes me think of what goes on the police department today with what they call illegal aliens. I still think we ought to take that Statue of Liberty. We ought to put a frown on her face and maybe a gun in one hand and holding a sign up in the other's hand saying, "All of you aliens, go home. This means all of you who came from Europe, which is everybody. I don't want you here anymore. Get out." We should send this out for all the world to see. Who is an alien? You know, even the American Indians came here uninvited by permission of Yahweh. Are we going to run them out too? Well, that's being fought over right now anyway. But back to us now. Here's the day of Pentecost, and we come down to Yeshua's time. And then here is a people still in Galilee, still working. But Yahweh sends them out then to work in Jerusalem. And, of course, Yochanan, in fulfilling the prophecy about him, he had to go into Babylon, which was Jerusalem, of course, at that time. Now, I'm not saying that Jerusalem was Babylon. There was a Babylon, yes, out of Israel, they took the people, they trained them as they did with Daniel. If you remember, they took Daniel to Babylon, him and his buddies, and then the king says, "Bring me all the best of the best here, and the people that we can teach our literature in the Chaldees language." They didn't want them speaking their Hebrew anymore. Well, Yochanan and the families there, if you remember when Yeshua was born, the king tried to find Yeshua to kill him, because he knew he was going to be teaching the laws of Yahweh. That's what the prophecy showed. And this was an enemy to their work, which they were trying to bring forth the Babylonian Talmud that was written in Babylon. And this was the literature they were teaching, that you've got to follow the oral laws, and we're the ones that's going to tell you the oral laws, of course. And you either follow it or you die. Well, of course, Daniel and his buddies, they were well trained in the laws of Yahweh, so they couldn't deceive them. But you'll find that in the first chapter of Daniel, if you want to read it, where he was taken to Babylon. And of course, history shows the best of the best then was taken to Rome to build the empire in Rome, which took over the whole world, the roaming Romans. These now, the disciples, were the leftovers of Yeshua, who Yahweh gave them peace in Galilee to do the work that we're reading here in Acts. In fact, book 2 was all written in Galilee, except for the book of Revelations. And of course, it was written on the island called Patmos, and Yochanan, the recorder of Revelations, he was held prisoner in a coal mine. That's what the history says. Well, here now we see the Acts of the Apostles in preparing this for you and writing down what is going on as we're doing today, the Acts of the last days, priest, the Kohans, Kohanas, the work, the total work that is going on here. It is also going down in a book called the Book of Yisrael, which of which there are several volumes right now. Praise Yahweh. Well, Yahweh wrote this for you. And he says here now in Acts 2, he says, "Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord." So we see this prophesied. we see this, it's showing right off here, showing that there was no disunity, which means they didn't eat blood. Let's go back to Yael. Just hold your place here, but go over to Yael, the second chapter, because there's a prophecy here for us. But when you eat blood, there's all kinds of life particles. Now, Dr. Pfizer's telescope shows us some. They don't show us all of them, But we can see trichna now. We can see the eggs of the trichna. We know that we can find right now in the baby's umbilical cords, we can find through this technology, we can find around 300 contaminants in the baby's umbilical cord right now. Now this is today in a civilized world. Now, in what we call contaminants, what they're calling contaminants is chemicals that they have made. They didn't really create these chemicals. To make a pesticide right now, what would kill, like if you ate something that was bad for you, what would kill that to keep it from killing you? Well, where would you go to find this? Well, a buzzard has it in his gut. He can eat any kind of food that he wants to and doesn't get sick because he has some pest inside his stomach. The pig does too. The pig can eat just about anything a buzzard can, and it has the protection. Well, what are we doing now? We are taking the insides of pigs and buzzards and things like this, and we're making what we call pesticides out of them to attack these things that are killing our plants and animals and so forth. This is how we get our antibiotics and so forth. We grow these things that are raised in the guts of animals, which are in the lifeblood of animals, and many of the clean animals that we eat also have protection that you don't have, because they're eating, they live off of grass and weeds and twigs and things like that. And Yahweh put within them a protection in their bodies, so they can use this. Science can actually use this. So it's not like they're creating something new, microorganism that is new. No, they're finding it and they're using it. Now, the problem is right now, like the pig is immune from all of these parasites that are in dead meat that starts breaking it down. The pigs and the buzzards, they're immune to this. So what takes place when they use these pests from the insides of animals and start putting them in the human beings? Then you become immune to what they're trying to doctor you with. Now, this is what we're facing today. So I was just reading an article this morning where it says we've got to find new antibiotics. These diseases that we have now, which came from the animals, they are immune to everything we've got. So we've got to find new ones. And they said the world is getting in sad shape and said, we've got to hurry. They know it's not going to last much longer. They're running out of a protection for you or something to kill the diseases. Now, I know you've been protected, and I can tell from the looks on most of your faces, you're very healthy. But the world is not like you are. You've come out of the world, and that's the reason you're showing signs of health now. I remember, and I noticed somebody put it on the wall back there. When I first saw a lot of you guys, I thought you was going to die real soon. You started getting better when you stopped eating unclean food and started eating foods that would start rebuilding your health. But one of the main things that hold people back is blood. And of course, when you eat blood, you age real fast. When you eat meat, I remember when I was a child, and this was the way the world was for 6,000 years. When I was a child, it was hard to butcher an animal. Now, you didn't have refrigeration, so what are you going to do? Here's a cow that'll weigh 700 pounds, which you're going to get about 300 pounds of meat out of. Your meal for the day or 3 days would maybe be 3 pounds of meat. What are you going to do with the rest of it? Well, see, that was the shape that everybody was in back then. Now, the grocery stores in Purcell and Lexington, Oklahoma, who my dad did butchering for, they would line up people. They would organize the people, and they'd say, I'm going to have so much meat. What parts do you want? So they'd pay in advance for the meat. So he'd tell them, you'd be here on a certain date because that meat's going to be here, and you've got to be here to pick it up when it comes. Well, this is the way things was arranged when I was a child. Well, now, see, it's much different. You, at that time, when refrigeration started coming in and freezers started coming in, meat was prepared. It was kept in the freezers and refrigerators. Then it was set out in the store market. You could go there any time of day, and you could start buying meat. Something that you had maybe once a week when I was a child, maybe once every 2 weeks. Dad used to say that Mother could take a small chicken and make two huge big pots of chicken and dumplings. You may not find any chicken in it, but you'd find a lot of dumplings, he said. Well, of course, that's the way it was with us when I was a child, and most people were the same way. Chickens were readily available, but so was fish now, if you lived close to a place where there was fish. You know what, Yeshua, the food that is actually says that he ate? Fish. Yes, fish. one of the best foods for your brain is omega-3, which comes from fish. And Yeshua is recorded because they lived around the Sea of Galilee, and I myself caught fish from the Sea of Galilee very easily. It wasn't a hard thing to do, I noticed. Anyone could go there and get it. Of course, somebody had to clean it and cook it, you know, so that sets you back some too. But I remember that's what we lived on mostly was fish. That it was available in the winter as well in the summer. And we had a place in where we lived that wasn't but about 100 yards from the house where we could go there. And Dad would take his 22, and when the carp would come up to suck on a log because they eat algae, he would shoot them in the head. They'd turn over and float, and he would pick them up and take them for dinner. And it was an easy thing to do at that time. So we had a lot of fish to eat. But anyway, back to this now in Yael. Because we're at a place here where the world has changed. Their main diet now is meat. In getting to this spot, I need to tell you this too. In getting to this point of history where we are right now, pigs, they were something that was used to clean up the earth. Pigs will eat just about anything that you throw away. You can let slop lay in a bucket for a week and pour it in a pig trough, and the pig will stick his nose down in it and just gobble it up. But they're made to do that. But there got to be too many pigs, and of course this is the reason for pushing the hog market. It's a cheap meat to raise. I remember when I was a child that a cow would die or a horse would die. Well, of course, somebody needed to pick it up because there it was, you know, decaying and stinking. And the farmer could go out there and work for days trying to dig a hole to put a horse or a cow in. Or they could call a man named Jody Sparlin in Purcell, and he would come out and get that cow and take it right to town, in town. Now, this is on the south side of Purcell, and he would throw it out to his hogs. And he raised, it didn't cost him anything to raise these hogs. Costs very little now because it's still mainly scraps. It's, waste food that's going back into these, into hog feed. So, anyway, this was a way to get rid of the hogs that multiply. You know, you could have them around to eat the garbage, but they'd also multiply, and then you could eat them and take their remains and give it to somebody. But this is the way it's changed. And they season up pork where it'll taste good to you. And then but in this pork, of course, is its life's blood that's not supposed to be going into your blood, but it'll tell a tale on you. If you don't watch, you can go to the grocery store and nothing is shown on a label except natural flavoring. Well, what could be more natural than the pig and the gut? And of course, that's natural, so that's the only way they're required to label it, is just natural flavoring when it comes from a pig. I think it was McDonald's that used the same thing to go on their French fries. And finally, the Muslims, I believe it was, found out that this was going into their French fries, and now there's lawsuits going on if they haven't settled it, but they apologized, but they didn't say anything about taking it out, so it may be still in the French fries. But, you know, when you're cooking bacon, or when somebody's cooking bacon, you can smell it a half a mile away. It's not really the bacon that they're going after here. It's the smoke flavor that they put into this. Pig meat is tasteless, I'm told. But they can flavor it up with these flavors and get you to eat it. Well, that's what they've got on the market today. They've got all kinds of meat for you to eat. And, of course, each one of them has blood in it. Every one of them that I know of on the market has blood. Even the ones they call kosher has blood. They also have things in them that we're told, and they won't dispute it to us. They have things that we've found out about that is not even beef in their beef kosher, what they call kosher products on the market. So it's something you need to watch out about, because you won't be in unity with Yahweh or His house unless you pay attention to this and start abiding by it. Come out from her, be separate, touch not the unclean thing. It's in the blood. Don't put it in your body. Well, here on in Yael now, if we're true as the apostles were, we got some great promises coming. We know we're going to receive this too. This is Yahweh's house. It's the only house of Yahweh on the face of the earth. And we got promises that no one else has, brethren. We're not, praise Yahweh. We're not like Christianity. We got something we can get our teeth into here, you know, and we can hang on to it. We got prophecy after prophecy prophesying of this last day's work that Yahshua himself is high priest over. And that goes from Genesis clear through to Revelation. No other religion on the face of the earth, brethren, has what we got right here. Well, here now in Yael, let me see. I don't want to read all of this. Let me read just a little of it, though. Verse 28, chapter 2 and verse 28, it says, "And it will come to pass that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters." Now that all flesh, of course, it's a little bit different than the Hebrew. The Hebrew says all that reverence Yahweh, all who reverence Yahweh, all the flesh that reverences Yahweh. Well, how would he know what flesh? In the blood that's testifying. Remember that. Don't think you got him fooled. You haven't. "And it will come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all the flesh that reverences Yahweh, and your sons and your daughters," which means we're going to have sons and daughters now that's going to reverence Yahweh. We got those sons and daughters, brethren. They are striving to do Yahweh's will. They'll correct you if they see you get out of line. And praise them for it, okay? Praise them. Tell them how joyous you are that they corrected you. "Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids," which you are, all of your servants, all of your handmaids, "to Yahweh in those days, I will pour out my spirit. I will also show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke." That's coming from, of course, the world, the confused world, the Babylonian system. "The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of Yahweh comes, before the joyous reverence of Yahweh comes. And whoever will call with the name of Yahweh You don't find anyone calling with the name of Yahweh today except the house of Yahweh. Now, correctly now, there's others out here using the six letters here and pronouncing it, but they're not doing the rest of what Yahweh says, which says, go to the place where I choose to place my name, and there call upon my name, and it's quite different. So he says, they will be delivered. They will be delivered. For in Mount Zion, which means the promotion of Yahweh, those who lift up holy hands to Yahweh, there will be deliverance, as Yahweh has said, among this remnant who reverences the name of Yahweh, repents and of sin, which part of it, of course, is eating blood, coming to unity with Yahweh. You won't have many of these things bugging you. That's what they are. They're bugs, and you won't have many of them bugging you if you'll stop eating this blood, come out from among them, touch not the unclean thing, and Yahweh will receive you. I love you, brothers and sisters. May Yahweh bless you.